Julie.
Guess what? You know, we added this next guest to the spurt list. You know what our spurt list is? No. It's the expert list. And we found out about him and his company a while ago. And they're kind of the go-to folks when it comes to statistics and restaurants. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a very interesting thing we're going to tell you today about restaurants. A lot of people have a good idea to have a restaurant. You know, hey, mama's got a great recipe for ribs. I'm opening a rib joint. And 3 months later, you say, hey, where's that rib joint? You know, a lot of people can cook really well. A lot of people can serve really well. But a lot of them don't do business very well. That's where this company Wompley comes in. And Brad Plotho is the VP and brand communications guy there. Been with him since the beginning. And an interesting statistical background. Done a lot of studies, done a lot of things. We're going to talk about Father's Day. Don't get Dad the old Spice and the necktie. You're going to take him out to eat. You're going to learn something kind of interesting about where Father's Day fits in the big restaurant cycle. And that's kind of the second longest career introduction I think I've done in 57 years. Brad, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. I feel very special.
You're in Utah.
I am. I'm in Utah. Our company's headquartered in San Francisco, but I'm in Utah, and we definitely look at data across the entire country, including in Hawaii, to make sure we understand what's going on all over the place.
Before we get into Hawaii's statistics, what's the weather like in Utah this morning?
Finally, pretty beautiful. It's about 85 today and dry. We've been saturated with rain. I mean, nothing compared to the islands, but we've been getting rain for about a month straight. So very unusual for us. So we're happy to have it warm and dry.
You know, when we first hooked up several months ago and started to add you guys to our list, I'm wondering, first of all, what does Wompley do? Who are your customers?
Our customers are mom-and-pop shops, so real small businesses, brick-and-mortar businesses that serve customers at the point of sale, restaurants, retailers, health and beauty businesses, that kind of thing.
I'm glad we can shine the light on restaurants today because I'm hoping you agree with me. A lot of people have a great idea for a restaurant, but they don't have any of the other expertise, so they need to find out from people like you and others. Everybody can make a good stew, but you know, to run a good business is another thing. What's the biggest problem they have, these little guys?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. One is that even if you run a brick-and-mortar business like a restaurant, a lot of the decision-making for whether or not people are going to pick your business and go to your business happens online. So they read reviews on review sites. They research you online. That's really where word of mouth has migrated to. And then once people actually do come into the business, very few business owners in mom-and-pop shops have like a good fidelity and understanding of what's happening, like the transactions that are happening with their customers, who are their best customers, who are their worst. They may know some by name, but they may not really understand, you know, the transaction history with that customer, who is most valuable to them. And so that's really what we do is we have a software solution that is powered by transaction data for millions of businesses. We serve about 150,000, but we have this giant ecosystem of data coming in. And we use that to benchmark everything against what's normal and what's typical. That's where we see things like, you know, how does Father's Day perform in general in certain states in terms of restaurant revenue and so on and so forth.
Now, hard to argue with the numbers, isn't it, Brad? I mean, you know, statistics, you can push them any way you want. But when you filter through all of the information that you are to provide, you know, the reports and the analysis that you do, it must be easy to show guys you say, I don't need that computer stuff, man. I got a good restaurant. I mean, you know, we have gone through a paradigm shift. People are outside your restaurant in your car, their car right now, Googling you.
Yeah. And it's in everybody's interest who runs a restaurant to understand these things because it helps you run a better business. I mean, the advantages are, like you said, people are actually on their phone looking for a place to go get a meal. And if you show up and people like what they see, they're more likely to actually go to your restaurant than they may have been before. They can discover you more easily. And then if you've got ways to understand, you know, how well you're doing on certain days, when you should staff up, when you shouldn't staff down, again, in everybody's best interest because you're more efficient, you're more effective, you serve your customers better.
Well, you know what we subscribe to, and I'm sure you've heard this, and I'm sure you all do it too. You can make the highs higher, but it's hard to do much about the lows. The lows are there for kind of a reason. You throw money, a whole bunch of money at a low spot, you might get a little return. You throw a little money at a high spot, and you go through the roof.
That's exactly right. And so it's good to know when those high spots are. And we find as we analyze this data, we're constantly surprised by where those high spots are. Some of our guesses, our intuition is usually off.
Yeah,
for example, hey, Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day must be one of the best. We always hear it's one of the 10 best days of the year for local restaurants. And it turns out for very specific types of restaurants, that's true. But for most full-service restaurants, it's like number 85.
Okay, so
if you rank all 365 days.
Let's surprise some of our folks, even restaurateurs. And, you know, we have a lot of people that are owning their own little businesses that at 6:12 in the morning right now are heading down the road to go and open up the oven and start cooking. What are some of the surprises you can share with us about Father's Day?
Yeah, so the big thing with regard to Father's Day is that if you were to use restaurant sales as a proxy for love for your dad, Father's Day is a huge expression of love because it's the number two sales day of the entire year.
Come on.
The only thing that trumps it is Mother's Day. So
really?
People love their moms a little more than dad, but yeah, they definitely go out and force to restaurants to take dad out on Father's Day.
You know, we've always
that's true in Hawaii.
We've always cautioned people, don't give mom a vacuum cleaner for Christmas or her birthday. Dad's the opposite. Give dad the drill or the power hammer and he's happy. But what about when somebody does the dad deal and takes dad out from under the thing and says, Dad, we're going to go to your favorite restaurant and you're going to eat whatever you want?
Yeah, the way to dad's heart is through his stomach. You always hear that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so that certainly bears out in the numbers. So just to give you an example, so on a typical day in Hawaii, the average local restaurant is going to see about 43 tables, average ticket size of $34. They're going to make about $1,500.
Wow.
And on Father's Day, they're going to see 8 more tables. Their transaction size per ticket is going to go up 29% to $44, and their revenue is going to go up to $2,200. So that's a 53% increase. So it's a huge spike in revenue. So clearly you're seeing more tables. They're spending more. As a result, local restaurants are just like rolling in the dough that day.
No, you said something earlier that's kind of interesting. Mother's Day, you can understand the white tablecloth and the extra service and the butler and all of that stuff and the valet and everything to really make it a day. But it's what you're saying to me, what I'm hearing here is that it's the opposite for Father's Day. There's more dads going out to eat in restaurants on Father's Day than there are mothers.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
that's well, amazing.
And it seems like it's a family event, right? And
mm-hmm.
One thing that's interesting is that both for Mother's Day and for Father's Day, it's a whole weekend event. So, for example, if you just take the day before Father's Day, the Saturday before, that's the number 12 day for restaurant sales in Hawaii. So you still see a huge spike, a 36% spike in consumer spending at local restaurants. Same is true for Mother's Day. So, like these 2 days. Really, the consumer trend has been, like you said, rather than buying gifts, or maybe in addition to buying gifts, there's this major push to take mom and dad out for brunch or for dinner.
Yeah, it seems that way. And then the other thing you talk about is in our business, it's TSL, time spent listening. You know, the longer somebody stays in a restaurant, the harder it is to turn over that table. I would think that the Father's Day diner is going to be a little bit quicker eater and out of there.
You would think so. And one of the things that's nice about these kinds of days, if you are the operator of a restaurant, is that you have a couple of different day parts when you can really win. So if you're a restaurant that serves 3 meals a day, you serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner, there's going to be a major push around brunch, especially if you have things that are tailored toward brunch for dad. And then you may see another spike at dinner. And that's true for both of those days. So when we look at the subcategories of restaurants that do well, those that provide like a white tablecloth experience, like you mentioned, or, you know, maybe just like barbecue and rib joints, like you mentioned earlier in the show, they do very well. But also restaurants that are diners that provide a brunch special, those do equally well.
Here's something, Brad, that fits right in with what you're saying. We're doing this thing with our Father's Day deals where we do the half price tickets and the incentives to take dad to dinner. There's this place, one of the places it's doing it's called the Boiling Crab, and obviously in the title you can kind of understand what they do. And I'm thinking, what dad wants is a beach towel with a hole in it for his head, cover him up with a napkin, and just let him get involved in that stuff. That's kind of what happens.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you know, don't worry about it. Here, give me a bucket of butter and just get out of my way and let me eat. But isn't that somewhat true that sometimes a family has got to rethink where they're going to take dad? They got to go where dad wants to be, not mom's favorite place.
Yep. Well, so I'm a dad. I've got 4 little kids. And when we go out to eat, it's usually where the kids want to go. And
yeah,
so
of course.
I totally can empathize with it's dad's turn to choose. And that's the kind of place I would definitely choose. Let me go and just like wolf down some crabs or some seafood.
What is the takeaway? What do you like to do? I mean, obviously, Wampley is you're out into branding everything, not just restaurants, but because it's easier to key into highlight on what's happening in a restaurant. What would you advise a young family or somebody that's saying, hey, you know what, we're gonna open a restaurant. We can do this. Mom makes a great stew. Let's have a stew joint.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple things. One is that, you know, if you really understand the way that consumer tastes are changing, you can tailor your experience to that. So one of the things that we've seen, and there's been national news coverage about this, is that local restaurants are starting to really gain a lot of ground on big national chains. And the reason for that is because people are looking for unique experiences.
Yeah.
So the more unique the experience is, the more different it is from like what you might find in a national chain restaurant, the better you're going to do with people who are looking for that. So that's the number one thing. And then no matter what kind of fare you're providing, it's important to have like a very robust online presence. So have a website that has your menu very easy to find. Make sure that you've claimed all of your listings. One of the things we're doing right now, we're analyzing the impact of online reviews on revenue. And one of the things, this is not published yet, but one of the things that we found is there's a direct correlation between restaurants that make more money and those that just claim their free listings on like Google and Yelp and TripAdvisor. So just doing those things, there's positive revenue correlation between just responding to reviews from customers. So if you just claim your listings on those sites when you start a new restaurant, people are going to find you more easily. When you respond to those reviews, not only will people, it tells Google this is an active business, and so it's more likely to serve you up in those search rankings. And when people do find you, they're more likely to say, hey, this is a place I'm willing to try.
That's really cool. I wish we had a whole lot of time to spend on this, but I do have one question that we've seen a paradigm shift in how many people deliver stuff now. I mean, grocery stores, pharmacies, liquor stores, big box stores, pizza joints, everybody delivers. How do you keep statistics on the number of people that are opting to have the food brought to them instead of them go to the food?
That's a really good question. So we don't have that level of fidelity in our data because there may be some of these restaurants that deliver, but we're looking at the transaction at the point of processing. When that transaction is processed. So we don't know necessarily was this a delivery order or was this an order that was happening in the place of business.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that there are some kinds of restaurants that are more conducive to that. Obviously, if you're a sandwich shop or you sell pizza, it makes sense for you to be doing delivery just like it always has. But we also do see, in some of the surveys that we do that consumer tastes are shifting to where people do like to go out and experience local businesses in their place of business. So there are some businesses, I don't think it's ever going to go away, that you have a physical place where you actually sit and serve people, because there are people who are actively seeking that out still.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I can tell you, though, there are companies springing up all over the place that are the delivery people. And they have a whole list of restaurants that they service, and they're expanding the ability for a restaurant to deliver by not having their own delivery guy. They can just call up, delivery dudes, and delivery dudes come and get the stuff and brings it, of course, for a fee somewhere.
Yeah, and that's a nice advantage if you run a business, because you don't have to take on that infrastructure. You sort of pass that along to a third party, and it's good for everybody. It's good for the consumer who decides that they'd rather have it come to them than to go out. And it provides lots of optionality, and that's usually what people want, the consumer wants, and it's also good for the business.
Okay, well, listen, I'm getting all kinds of signals that I'm getting booted out of my little chair here. It's always a great moment to spend time with you, Brad, and talk a little bit. People want to know a little bit more about you and Wampley. Where do they go?
Yeah, go to Wampley.com, and this data is specifically, if you Google Wampley State of Local Restaurants, the first link that comes up, our State of Local Restaurants report for 2019, bunch of free data about how people spend money at restaurants in all 50 states, including Hawaii.
Yeah, and I was particularly interested in that, all you small business people on your way. Brad's company does go out of their way to make sure that every market they're in gets statistical treatment. So you're not going to be showing something that's happening in New Orleans. You're going to be showing something that happens here in Hawaii. Brad, thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Aloha. There you go. Brad Bothrow at Wampley. Wampley? Yeah. He's the vice president of communications for Wampley. And you can just sort of Google it and find out a little bit more interesting stuff.